And a very good Friday morning to you. Adam here, co-hosting The Pastor's Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, airing every Friday morning between 9:15 a.m. and 10 Eastern, right here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Pleased to have Pastor Steve as a member of our radio family. Got some hot weather on the way, Pastor Steve. You staying cool out there?
I'm staying very cool.
Well, that's
I'm trying to do so little that I won't get hot. How's that?
That sounds like a plan to me, my friend. You know, and you are certainly one of the coolest pastors around. So that's
there you go.
That certainly makes sense.
It's not by personality, by temperature, right?
I would say, yeah, they kind of go hand in hand. Pastor Steve is from Community Christian Fellowship, just south of here in Prospect, Ohio. In addition to this program, his church service plays on this station on Sunday between 12:15 p.m. and 1. So we're pleased to have Pastor Steve with us. And how are things going out there other than staying cool?
Actually, they're going pretty good. I'm managing to get a few things done. And that really makes, you know, doesn't it make your life a little bit easier when things are getting accomplished instead of one step forward and two steps back?
I would say yes, in a general direction of positive accomplishments and making our life better, especially in these tough times with gas. I'm not sure how much gas will be tomorrow, but today it's in the low to mid fours, which is
I know I'm going to be buying a truck soon, and yeah. I'm just really scratching my head on where to find something with a balance between gas mileage and have the power that I needed to have. So, oh well, we'll figure that one out. It is. It's beautiful out. I love this time of year. It's deeply affected by dreary weather. So when it's sun shining and it's warm, it has a tendency to change my entire outlook on things.
That sounds good to me, Pastor Steve. Well, the microphone and the podium are yours.
All right. I'll talk to you in a bit, Adam.
Certainly. I'll be here.
Well, it is good to be with you today. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street. We are a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, and prayerfully Bible-obedient church. Our Sunday morning time that we meet is at 9:30 for Bible school and for Sunday school for kids. And then at 10:30, we have our traditional, typical worship service. If you wonder about our music is blended. We do a lot of traditional, but we also do a lot of contemporary stuff. We kind of mix it up and, try to worship as people are there to worship the Lord. And what else can I tell you? Let's see. We have some neat Bible studies going on Sunday evenings. The one right now is on Revelation. We're about halfway through that. And I'm not sure where we're going to go when we get down to Revelation, possibly on the prophecies from the Old Testament up through the New Testament, those fulfilled in the New Testament that certainly were prophesied in the Old Testament. And it's amazing how many there are and how accurate they are for being so many years apart. So that will be a real neat one also. We also do Team Kids for Christ, which is basically during the school year time. That is a club that we do, and it's for kids from preschool all the way through fifth grade. And they seem to have a wonderful time at that, a lot of activities and crafts and snacks. And we do that during the school year. Then we also have, during the summertime, we do a summer lunch program at the church. That's it every day. And if I'm not mistaken, it's at 11:30. That'll kick off here in a couple weeks. And then I believe on Thursdays also during that time, we're going to have an hour kids Bible club that's going to go on with that. On Fridays, in this beautiful weather, beginning at 7:00 in the morning, we serve coffee and pastries outside of the church. If you want to just come by and grab one and visit a minute, there's no cost to that. And just something we certainly do enjoy doing. But we have just a lot of different things going on. I do a thing, which was tonight, actually, twice a month called Pizza with Pastor. And Pizza with Pastor is a time when teenagers of the teenage school age will come and eat pizza, and we talk about a lot of current events. Lots of times when there's something really on their minds that has happened either in school or in the news, I give them a chance to talk about that and field their questions, and just some really neat stuff that we do. Actually, one of the things we started doing a little bit of is kind of funny, is we have been doing a little bit of teaching cursive, which seems strange, but, you know, the schools aren't doing it now. So I thought, well, you know, that's something. Cursive is so personable, and it individualizes us. And so I take a few minutes and try to help with that, too. Just a lot of neat things we do. We discuss a lot of current events. So before I lose breath, I'm sure I forgot things already. We do. Oh, yes, we have our Wednesday evening Bible studies. We have a great women's Bible study that's so much fun. It's 6:30 there at the church. And then we have an open Bible study also at the church at that time. And then there's another Bible study actually at 7 o'clock, a little bit closer, just south of the church towards Delaware. The Sauter family has a study there, and just a lot of neat stuff going on. We invite you to come. Everyone's welcome. Our church is a very, very blended church of people from all different backgrounds and occupations and income levels and the typical body of Christ, as you may look at it. We have one thing in common. We have all given our lives to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we desire to live that way and to raise our families that way, and just very active in a lot of different things in the community. So I've taken a few minutes to talk about those things, and I guess I'll move on a little bit. It's great to, once again, to talk to you today. We have a lot of neat things going on in the church right now. We're really growing, for one, which is, we praise for the Lord for that, and pray that we remain worthy of His allowing us to grow. And a lot of younger families coming in, which is just fantastic. Anyway, we do here on this show, we talk a lot about things that are going on in the culture and in the community, and just give people a chance to mull over some of those things. And, you know, right now, there's so many great concerns over, right now, a huge one, of course, is the formula shortage for babies. Gas prices are on the rise. Housing prices are astronomical. And, of course, interest rates are still low. But can you imagine if these housing prices stay up and interest rates start to climb, too, which very well could happen? I was alive back in the early 80s when all of a sudden interest rates hit over 20%. Isn't that amazing? Just hard to believe that they could ever even have gotten that high. And people had what they called variable rate loans. And those loans suddenly started going at a very high rate.
Yeah, Steve, I was looking at inflation since, I guess, when I was just a small boy, which would have been the beginning of the Nixon administration. And it was double digits and like 72, 73. Then
right.
Eased off a bit then during the Carter administration, right when I was getting ready to start college. It was back in the low teens, I believe. And then it yes. Eased off a little bit. And it's been around 2% of late. I don't know what it's going to be for 2022, but at this point, especially with some items, to me, it looks like it's over 20%. And the difference, too, is interest rates are low. They're a little bit above where they were when they bottomed out, but they're nowhere near the levels of the 70s. I had a savings account.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We lived in Rochester. I opened up a savings account in 1971 because I got a small check for my birthday, and the savings account paid 5%. And you're lucky now to get a savings account paying 1%. And the stock market is certainly on a bit of a downward spiral, but I think it's more of a correction. So it is different than it was back in the 70s. The whole landscape of the economy is something like we've never seen before.
And right. When I was 12 years old, which would have been 1970, I opened a bank account in Mount Sterling, Ohio, at the Sterling State Bank. And I was getting a 4.5%, I think, interest on my deposits, on a savings account. And we just don't see that today. I mean, you honestly, I hate to say this, but you're almost better off to don't put money in the bank, one. And the other thing is, and I don't know why more people don't take advantage of this, but lend privately to people that need to borrow. And maybe if it's someone you really know that isn't in a position that they want to go through financing, if it's not anything too long term, get a decent interest rate and lend it to people privately, you know. But there's putting money in the bank right now is kind of like, why would I even do that? I like access to the money anyway, and you can't even get anything where they hold on to it that's going to really pay anything.
Yeah,
you have to put in for a period of time.
So the whole banking system, and maybe part of it were those savings and loan scandals in nearby Cincinnati. That may have made a permanent scar in the whole banking and saving system. But it's just so different than what we had in the 70s. With savings accounts, just a passbook paying 5% or even more, CDs paying in low teens. Now, I mean,
but you know, the thing is, Adam, it's even if you're getting that kind of return on what you're putting in, if you're borrowing at the same time and you borrow at such a higher rate, say on your home or your car or a boat or a home improvement, whatever, it's kind of a wash. It's kind of like, what good did that extra do me when I'm putting it right back out the door? It seems to me that a lot of times finances, when they balance in a way between what goes out and what comes in. And I don't know where we're headed right now. We really, if you look at a lot of the national averages of prices and things that are really going on, and if you look at globally right now, what countries are doing with their crops especially, we could be in for a real bad turn. I heard today that a lot of the companies that are making gasoline pumps, are changing their configuration to a double-digit gas price down in the bottom of the pump. Because, you know, our pumps now, our gas pumps, they only go up to $9 is the highest you could take them.
Yeah.
Well, they're wanting to make them so that in case they go to a double-digit. Yeah. I don't want to be an alarmist.
Thought of $10 a gallon gasoline.
Yeah, but they're actually doing that. They're actually changing in the manufacturing how they're doing that. So that's kind of a scary thing. And I think that we're certainly seeing things climb. I really wish, Adam, I'll tell you, we've talked before about this. I really wish that people would really pay more attention to what's going on around them and have a more of an investigative personality. Because when we roll over and just let everything go, that's when the wolves come in. And that's when we get in a really bad place, because they see themselves as nothing more than profit takers in so many areas. And the lies that we believe, something else that bothers me a little bit, and I think that I have to go hand in hand with this, when we start losing our moral base, kind of interesting. You know, when we look at general right and wrong and do's and don'ts and things of that nature. Do you realize that all of that goes back to Judeo-Christian values in this country? And if you take those out of the picture and everybody does what everyone wants to do, then it really doesn't matter what you do and who you hurt. And the dishonesty level, real interesting. I was thinking about something today. When it comes to how easy it is to tell a lie without telling a lie. And I'll give you a real good example right now, okay? Say I'm giving a speech or I'm talking or whatever the case may be, and I'm going to tell you something very honest about myself right now. I really am. Okay. In 1973, I was on a ship, USS Compass Island, which was a subtender in the Atlantic. And now, with me telling you that, what would you assume from that about me? Adam, you there?
Yeah, right here. Sorry, I didn't know.
What would you assume about me?
If you were on a ship, I mean,
I was on the USS Compass Island, which I was in 1973, and it was in the Atlantic. What would you assume from that?
Yeah, you were a young man, but maybe you were a pastor in training or doing some kind of missionary work, or
I was on a USS ship, a naval vessel.
Right. I mean, maybe doing something.
I was a late teenager.
Yeah. Just in training to be a pastor or something. Something related to religion, but maybe I'm totally
No. Wouldn't you assume that I was in the service?
Yeah, possibly, but maybe you could. I mean, you could have been.
Yeah. I'm on a sub tender belonging to the U.S. Navy. I'm in the Atlantic.
Right.
So if I start telling a story about that and telling you how the morale on the ship, the naval morale was very low, and Vietnam was just ended, wouldn't you assume that I was in the Navy?
Possibly, yeah. But again, you could have been.
It could have been.
Yeah, multiple possibilities.
If I was giving a speech and included that, most people would assume that I was a veteran. And if I left it at that, most people would assume I was a veteran. Now, that is a true story. But the truth of the matter was, the ship that was in the Atlantic was the same ship, but it was actually docked in Bainbridge, Maryland. That is the Atlantic, you know. And I was on that ship, but I was 15 years old. And the reason I was on it is because was on that ship, and he got me a pass to come on the ship with him. So you see how easily you can say something that is the truth, but you can say it in a way that can make it seem totally different than what's authentic.
Yeah, it's all the perspective and how
it's
you interpret.
It's all the perspective of what you do. And we seem to be getting away with a lot of that these days. I think we all remember the Hillary story when her and poor Chelsea were over in Bosnia dodging bombs. When we're in government, when you tell the American people something and you swear to it and you do something completely different or never intended to, I think that as a culture we've gotten to the point that we no longer expect people to tell the truth. And I think that leaves us in a very, very vulnerable place, don't you? I guess that we're not appalled when people lie anymore. And I think that really we should be. Like right now, if you look at, and I'm not even gonna say why or who or what, but if you look at everything that has gone wrong in this country in the last couple of years, and we know there's been some things that have really gone wrong, there needs to be some accountability. There needs to be some heads rolling in a lot of different places and crossing party lines. But I don't, you know, as people, it seems to be as long as we can pay the rent and as long as there's money in the bank and as long as we can entertain or do whatever we want to do, until that's taken away, nobody's going to really, really get too upset about it. And the thing is, the way that you stop things from going the wrong direction is you head them off. You get ahead of it. And people don't seem to want to get ahead of things so much anymore, as much as they just want to ride the coattails of things. You see where I'm at with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree.
And it's in all kinds of areas. It's in our education. Please tell me when we are do you realize that we are the number one nation in the world in how much money we pay for education? I'm talking about kindergarten through, actually all the way through college. And we are number 33 in where we stand in education in the world. Number 33. Ouch. When you're spending the most and you're getting way down the line, you got to start looking at, okay, what am I spending money on and why isn't anyone learning more than they're learning? And, you know, but we don't think about that. We don't worry about what our kids are being taught or not taught until it is literally put right in our face and it's something that maybe we just cannot agree with at all. Or, you know, it's kind of like driving on bald tires, knowing that your tire's going to blow, but you don't worry about it until it blows. And then you look in the trunk to see if you have a spare. And it's just that we do so much of that anymore. We have too many bailouts. Bailouts for people that they're not going to do anything because they're waiting on the next bailout. Where did I hear today somebody that was cutting their hours back really drastically because they couldn't get any help? I don't remember if it was a zoo or who it was. It was someone. Oh, I know who it was. It was it was Westerville City Schools or one of those swimming pools. And one of the pools, I'm thinking Westerville, but I could be wrong. Don't hold me to that. But one of them was going to cut back their pool hours because they couldn't get any lifeguards. And we have really hit a worker shortage in this country. And a lot of people have just stopped reentering the workforce when their unemployment runs out. And I don't know what they're doing, whether they're waiting on another stimulus or what they're doing, but I've talked to so many people that just cannot fill positions. I talked to someone the other day, a bus coordinator with one of the school systems, and they put some bus routes out there that they're trying to hire for. They have not even got an application. And that's for a number of reasons. I don't think they pay bus drivers nearly enough. You know, you're out there with the responsibility of all these kids, and if something happens, you're the first one they point a finger at, but they want to pay you the same amount they would pay you to work at McDonald's. That makes no sense to me at all. But anyway, I just think I'm not sure where we're at right now. And I think that we better, as Americans, we better start thinking about where we're going to be or we're going to be in trouble. You know, Ronald Reagan once said something that was very telling to me, and it was very straight up to me as a pastor, and you've probably seen this clip played many times before. He says, when we stop being one nation under God, we'll become one nation gone under. And there was a good point to all that, and the point is when society abandons what has given it strength and courage and hope and just fly by the seat of their pants, you open the door to every rotten thing that wants to come in and destroy it. And we see that financially happen in our country. If you just look across the board and see the amount of abuse cases are unreal. I heard a thing the other day someone told me that they had called multiple times to report a problem with a student before they ever even got a call back from the Children's Services. And when I say multiple times, I'm talking in, I won't give you a number, but it was in excess of 30. And, you know, the first thing you think is, you've got to be kidding me. What's wrong with our Children's Services departments? I can tell you what's wrong. They are overwhelmed and overloaded. And what's wrong in a society when it gets that bad? When kids aren't being fed, when they're being neglected, when they're being abused. We've got some real societal issues that we need to address. You know, we're so worried about the border right now. Like, you know, last month we had over 270,000 people cross into this country from Mexico. 270,000 people crossed this border in 1 month. Now, that's a problem to me. And I love Hispanic people, and I love and I understand a lot of their plight, but they're coming over in such droves. It's not just Hispanics coming over, and it's not just good people coming over. But we seem to be we talk about that a lot. We're not doing anything about it a lot. But what are we doing about the amount of child trafficking going on right now? There's a private group out there, Adam, that is a really neat group, and I'm going to get them on the show to talk one time because I think it's really cool. They're a group of retired military police officers, detectives, and some other people blended in, and they travel all over the world. They work off donations, and they travel all over the world to rescue kids that are in trafficking situations. And it's really interesting. There's countries that are afraid to go up against the people that are doing the trafficking, but they're turning a blind eye to these guys coming in and doing it for them, because they don't want it stopped too. And these guys are all over the world doing this, rescuing little ones. I heard an interview with a guy that actually rescued a 16-month-old that was on their way to a 70-year-old businessman's place in Alaska. Can you imagine? And a lot of these kids don't even live more than a week after they end up where they're going. And we hate to see or even talk about that kind of stuff in our country, but it's a reality. And unfortunately, United States has the least amount of kids sold into trafficking, and we have a high number, but the least amount. But the children being purchased, the highest amount of people that are doing it, their origin is the United States. And so where are we as a country? And I think that we need to start addressing some of these things and getting back to, and I know you'll agree with me on this, that when people make an honest living, and when people make an honest effort, and when people take responsibility for themselves and their families day to day, things are a lot better. Wouldn't you agree?
I would definitely concur. We need more responsibility, more of the world doesn't owe me anything, I owe the world mentality.
And absolutely.
Look at the glass as half full, and as I see it, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I really live by that a lot.
Well, and I think some of us have had to sometimes. I can remember times in my younger years when I worked construction a lot. And a lot of what I did was I worked with a jackhammer and pouring cement and a lot of things that just weren't very much fun. But, you know, when I went out of the day, the task may look daunting ahead of me during the day. But I knew once I got through it, I'd get home and get a shower and a nice cold glass of iced tea, and I'd be able to pay my bills. And it made those 95-degree days or 90-degree days when you just didn't know if you could go another 15 minutes, all worth it. And it made me a stronger person. It truly did. And then when you do the average things, they're easy. But we're not seeing as much of that today. I've got a grandson right now that's running a landscaping crew, and he's just out of high school a year, and he started doing it in high school, and now he runs his own crew. And the stories he tells me about these guys that just, they don't know how to work. And it's all the crying all day long about everything. And I can concur with him, because back when I did construction, it was just starting out to get kind of that bad. And it certainly did. Unfortunately, we've really given kids a lot of false hope today. You know, I know I don't want to sound redundant, because everyone says this, but we're living in the every kid gets a trophy age. And I think that's been a real detriment, because when you're playing a video game and you're doing great, it keeps, you're a hero, you're the best, you're awesome, you know, and you're sitting there using your thumbs. And, you know, when every kid gets a trophy, you know, at some point we have to learn, look, there's winners and there's losers in life. And sometimes life doesn't, it doesn't always hand you lemonade. Sometimes you just get the raw lemons. And we got to learn how to work through that and get past it. It's the only way we ever get better. I was horrible in sports until I reached the age of about 12. My coordination didn't kick in until really good coordination until I was about 12. And then it like went ultra. Well, if I hadn't hung in there as a kid, regardless of being picked last over and over and over again, I never would have known the joy of being really good at that stuff when I got older. I had just walked away with my head hanging. And we do need to teach people that, you know, we've got to stick it out. We've got to get through it. I think you and I both know what happens to overly spoiled kids. They become not very successful adults.
Yeah, spoiled brats.
because they don't know how.
Yeah,
everyone owes something to them. Nothing was ever their fault. And, you know, now I was lived on the other opposite end of the spectrum. My parents were, what? You got in trouble at school? Oh, you're really in trouble at home. You know, my teachers never got the phone call, what did you do to my kid? It was, what do they do now? And how do I need to follow up with it? But I can't complain about that, because I think in the long run, it served me very, very well. I really, summer's coming on, get busy. I've been encouraging the young people I know to find a job for the summer. I keep seeing these ads pop up on the different Facebook pages, community pages, you know, where someone will say, I really need my lawn mowed this summer. Will someone please come and mow it? I'll pay them, blah, blah, blah. You know, kids, get a lawn mower and go mow it. Have mom and dad spring for a $200 push mower on a city lot. It wouldn't take you that long. And you pay off the lawn mower in about 3 days. And get out there and start saving your money for something you really want, rather than just blowing at it on everything you can get. And unfortunately, our parents aren't always the best example of that, are they?
Not necessarily, especially as parents that grew up in this me generation become older, become grandparents possibly. The whole mentality really has changed, and it's certainly upsetting.
It is, and you know, there's something else. I was speaking with a friend of mine yesterday. A good friend of mine has his mother-in-law living with him, and she's in her 90s. And I'm sure that can be a strain sometimes. But, you know, it's like he said to me, he said, you know, Timothy was very clear on that in the Bible about what kind of people don't take care of their parents. And it's not a very good picture. And we live in a day and age where we need to be taking care of our parents when they get old. And they certainly took care of us long enough, not just pushing them off somewhere and not worrying about them. I know that parents can be hard to live with. There can be animosity. There can be difficulties. But I'll tell you something. They're your parents. And if it wasn't for them and them feeding you as a child and taking care of you, you wouldn't have made it. So, you know, at least honor them with that. And you know what, Adam? Even if they didn't, if they were the worst parents in the world, wouldn't it still be nice to do the, for you to take the high road and do the right thing when it came to them?
I would say, set an example, show that you are better than people that may have failed society a little bit. Always strive for the top.
If they were so bad, be the example of what you could be in spite of what they did. And that's the example we need to give. You know, I see these, it's kind of interesting. I see these people today that just literally blow their parents off. And their parents could be laying in some nursing home somewhere. They'd never even go see them or visit them. And I got news for those people. If they have children, that's exactly what their kids are going to do to them. Because you've left them that example. It's just not a good thing. But, you know, there's so many neat things we can do this summer, Adam. We can get out there and we can, there's some things that aren't overly expensive. Kids don't need a fishing license till they're 12. If you go to, there's several places where you can get in where fishing is free. I know in the Delaware State Park, they have a kids pond that you can go to. That's just stocked full of fish for little kids back by the marina. I know that I'm sure there's places in Marion you can do that. But, you know, buy your kids a little cheap fishing pole. Buy them a cane pole. Put a string on it. Go make a picnic lunch and just have fun for a couple hours. You know, cheap stuff. How about getting, if you're out there and somebody needs a bicycle, will you let me know and I'll see that your kid gets one? Get out there and ride bikes with your kids. It's good for you. It's good for them. Just so many things we can do. Tallgrass Trail is an amazing place to get out there and just ride on and take walks and do whatever. Well, when I say do whatever, be good about what you do. But anyway, you know, you've got all these things. They just don't cost that much. We have so many free parks around where you can go have a picnic. You can there's places that have woods that you can take walks in. Get out there with your kids and enjoy life. We're, you know, here in a couple weeks, we're going to have Bible school started in Prospect this year. And bring your kids to Bible school for 5 days during the day. And you know, there's 2 hours that you're not going to have them, that they're going to have a snack time and a craft time, and they're going to learn wonderful stories. And, you know, do something positive. Don't just leave them at home in front of a TV or a playing with their cell phone. It's doing them no good whatsoever. I don't trust the TV and the cell phone to raise my kids. I believe that's my job. And I'm not about to let them do it because I know how they want to raise them, and that's not, certainly not in my line of how I would do that. But, you know, there's a lot of neat things we can do. Teach your kids how to open a bank account and save money. Start showing them how you do it. Adam, there's so many positive things we can do out there that we just need to start doing it. Bring them to Sunday school on Sunday morning. Our kids have a ball when they come. I mean, they really do. They have fun and they want to come back. When new people come, their kids are usually leaving with them. When I catch them at the doors, they're leaving, and the kids are asking their parents, can we come back next week? So obviously it's not that bad of a thing. But we've got to get up and make that effort, though. They're not going to come on their own.
Yeah, I would like to see more old-fashioned interaction, more educational, or, you know, edutainment, they call it, entertaining as well as educating, and less people stuck on their phones, video games. It also helps with
social
skills.
Some parks around Marion.
Yeah.
I know in Prospect Park, we even have a Frisbee golf course. Man, go buy some discs and get out there and have a ball. Just have fun with it. Do whatever. Yeah, I agree with you that, you know, give some kids some quality background. You know, I'll tell you, people point a finger at people that have things, and many times, and people that have successful kids. And I one of the worst things I hate, I just can't stand to hear from people, is this statement, and I hear it so often, it must be nice. Well, you know, a lot of the times those people that have the nice, they put the effort into having it, Adam. The reason their kids are doing well in school is because they put the effort in to help them and groom them along to do well. And, you know, a lot of times I know there's situations where things happen that aren't our fault. But the truth of the matter is, usually if you have success behind you, it's because, and you look successful, it's because you've really worked to get there. People that have had it handed to them don't usually keep it anyway. Just like people who don't work for things don't usually keep it. But, you know, the point is, if you're not successful today, if your life's been a real tragedy today, make sure it's not going to be tomorrow. Be that generational change in your family. Maybe your family's had a whole generational problem of being unsuccessful and not doing well. Decide, how can I do this? And am I going to be that person? I think that's important. I really do. Adam, we're about out of time, aren't we?
Now we got about 5 or 6 minutes.
5 or 6
minutes. But a good conversation today, just discussing the current state of the economy and the USA in general, just differences between the inflation we're seeing in 2022 versus the inflation of the 70s.
Yeah, it was a big difference. It was a different time. I know a lot of people that lost everything. There were a lot of people that were involved in real estate and rental property that actually took their lives during that period. We had something going on back then called a loan assumption. And you could go in, say you had no credit, you could go into a property and just assume someone's loan, start making the payments, and go to a title office. They changed the name on the loan, you just kept making them. In that case, you had no credit check. Well, people were snatching up properties when they were backwards on things. Maybe they already had too many. And then all of a sudden they were assuming variable rate loans. And all of a sudden the interest rates went crazy, and you went from paying $500 a month to $800 a month overnight. And they just couldn't make anything, and they lost everything. And I'm glad there really are some things in place so that aren't happening more. Matter of fact, I don't think you can't even do a loan assumption anymore. They're not even available. Too many banks lost their shirt on that one.
Yeah, the whole lending business. You mentioned private funding. That's been a big thing. And
I think it's a good thing.
Definitely. It's America. We can be creative. America is built on creativity, built upon the American dream, even if you do it a little bit different. And many times that ends up being better. Plus you learn and you improve the world for other people.
Hey, so, if I wanted to borrow some money right now, and you know, I would be tickled to death to pay someone 2 or 3% interest rate when they're only getting 1% or less. And, you know, they should be tickled to death to lend it because they're actually getting a return on their money.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, fascinated, even though it's not a good thing by any means, how our inflation is different from the inflation of the 70s. And the stock market just is dropping. And so the economy is not growing. And, you know, we can get into politics and, you know, you and I may agree on who's running the show up in Washington and what kind of a job is being done up there. But we kind of want to stay away from that angle. But if you just take a look at it, for those who were around in the 70s, even if they were kids like I was, versus what we have now, the interest rates, inflation, you know, we basically have negative unemployment. If you want a job, I mean, walk a block or two, you'll see now hiring $15 an hour signs. We didn't see that in the 70s.
Oh, no. I'll tell you a funny story. When Shirley and I were first, we had three kids at the time, maybe a fourth on the way, I'm not sure. And I was working in the construction field, and things were really rough at that point. And someone called me, a friend of mine, and said, hey, can you come down and interview for this job at Yellow Freight? You're going to have to work night shift, but they're going to pay you $10 an hour. Man, I'll tell you what, I was doing backflips like that. I thought we'd hit the lottery, you know. Unfortunately, I didn't get that job. But $10 an hour, that was just, wow, I couldn't wait to go apply for that. And you just couldn't get any money back then.
Yeah, totally different.
And, but, you know, honestly, Adam, when you factor in $8 a pack cigarettes and you have two people smoking two packs a day, that's $32 a day. Was that right? Yeah. $32 a day in cigarettes, so $320 every 10 months. That's $960 a month. $960 a month. Am I wrong on that calculation? I think I'm right.
Yeah. Smoking's become a very expensive activity.
Well, now add beer into it. I mean, my whole point is this. A lot of the reason people can't pay their rent right now and can't pay their bills is because of their vices. It's not because they don't have the money, shouldn't have the money to do it. And people say, well, how can we live on $15 an hour? That's only 30 between us. Well, sure, when two-thirds of it's being taken up by your vices, you can't.
Yeah, it's you have to live within your means. Well,
you gotta make a decision. Am I going to feed my kids and be responsible and get ahead? Or am I going to take care of my wants and complain I have nothing?
Well, great conversation, Pastor Steve. It's good to mix in a little bit of current events. How our economy is thriving or not thriving, especially versus previous times.
Hey, listen, come and see us at any of you out there. Come see us at Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our number there is 740-494-2222. Give us a call. I'll be glad to call you back if I'm not in. And you can also visit us on Facebook at Community Christian Fellowship. And, of course, you can also visit the Pastor Spot on Facebook as well. Adam, it's been great talking to you today, and I think we've had a pretty good back-and-forth conversation. It certainly wasn't one that stuck to a lot of, how would I say, spiritual discussion, but I think that it bounced in and touches it also in a way because of certainly those laws of what we should be doing and shouldn't be doing. And,
definitely.
And certainly personal responsibility and is a huge part of that. So, anyway, come and see us sometime. Adam, it's been great talking to you. I'll talk to you sometime later in the week. Okay, buddy?
Thanks, Pastor Steve. Always a pleasure. Pastor Spot airing between 9:15 a.m. and 10 today and every Friday morning right here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.